One of the things that's extremely important to understand is faith is not primarily mental. You have got to step out and behave in accordance with the Word of God before things happen. It is not simply enough to read the Word of God or hear the Word of God and agree that that's correct. It will always require you to do something physical, and if you don't do it, it doesn't work. And we're going to see in every one of these examples in chapter 11, somebody did something. So, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him, commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. All right, so what he's saying is, remember the story of Cain and Abel. They both showed up with offerings to God. Abel brought a kid. Cain brought a salad. And God accepted Abel's and rejected Cain's. And Cain got upset. And God then explained to him, if you do what I tell you to do, it will be accepted to you. And Cain never would. Now, one of the things that people get confused here is, of course, Abel was a herdsman and Cain was a farmer, right? And you can get confused here by thinking that each one of them brought with him the fruits of his own labor. In other words, was presenting the fruits of his labor to God. That's not what's going on here. If Cain had wanted to show up with a kid, he could have taken his salad over to Abel and traded and come up with a kid. The thing about it that is important is the sacrifice, not where you get it. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So again, what it's saying here is God has revealed his nature, and you need to behave in accordance with the revealed nature of God. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. All right, one of the things that the Midrash says is it took him 120 years to build this boat. And they get to that by adding ages and so forth. Regardless of that, what Noah is being commended for is taking action and following through. Now, think about this a minute. We live out here on the Colorado desert. And you're out in your backyard building a boat. A big boat. Far bigger than anything that will float on any of the lakes around here. Now, what do you suppose your neighbors are going to talk about? Eric's folly, right? Look at that stupid Eric. I mean, he's got this ocean liner in his backyard. I mean, once he gets it built, he's not going to be able to move it. I mean, what kind of an idiot is this? But again, what you would do is you would get ridicule and so forth from your neighbors. And if the rabbis are right, and this went on for 120 years, that gets corrosive. What Noah is being commended for here is perseverance. He stuck it through. He built the thing and took however long it took, but in the face of ridicule, because A, there hadn't ever been any rain up until that point, at least not biblically. And so why are you doing this? And everybody's laughing at him, and you know, off at Mardi Gras. Where am I here?
Eight.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Now, there's a couple things there. One, is he picks up and he heads out of Ur, which is where he was born, and you can just hear it. You're going, where? Well, I don't know. Oh, really? Why? Because God told me to. Really? Well, how do you know? Well, because God told me. Really? Oh, right. Okay. Now, not only that, Abraham was a wealthy man. Do you suppose, had Abraham wanted to, that he could have built himself a condo on the Mediterranean? Sure. Sure. But he chose to live a nomad's existence in tents because he was told to, because he's an example of a sojourner. Where am I here? 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now that one's a hard one. Because what did Sarah do other than just sort of the normal stuff between a husband and wife? You understand what I'm saying? Now, we're not privy to the household arrangements of Abraham and Sarah. So, I mean, it doesn't say. But just in the normal course of events, one could surmise that Sarah and Abraham would have cohabited just because they were husband and wife. So the question is, what was it that Sarah did that was special that caused her to receive the power to conceive? Did I ask that question so it made sense to you? I don't know. The answer to me is I don't know. One of the things that I have been saying all along is that people have to do something in order to make faith work.
Explain to them what Sarah, because right. Sarah lived her life and was just...
That's right.
And probably in her interactions with the people that she was with, was routinely talking about the time when she
would
Abraham
have a child.
We're going to have a child.
That could be.
That's right. And she, we're going to have it. And you're 90 years old, sweetie.
Yeah, and so she was surrounded by people
that's kind of the
crazy Aunt Sarah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can accept that. I otherwise don't know. Where are we? 12 maybe?
Yes.
Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So again, this is echoing back obviously to Abraham, mm-hmm. but it's extending Abraham. Abraham did it physically, okay? Abraham picked up and moved out of Ur in response to a promise, and he lived in a tent for the rest of his life because he was expecting something better. And what it says here, all of these people were expecting something better, but none of them received the thing promised. Okay? But they all expected it. Now, one of the things that says to me is that they will yet receive it. So what does that speak of then?
Shining city on a hill?
Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Yeah. So what I'm suggesting is it also speaks of resurrection.
Could have done, or what he could have built. That was part of the action, mm-hmm. was not looking back.
Right. And again, the comment, in case it didn't make it, was that the action that was involved in faith in all of these cases is not looking back. In other words, once you've cast your lot with God, for example, Gideon, when he cast his lot with God, he turned around and burned his plows and slaughtered his oxen. He said, basically what he's saying is, God, if this doesn't work out, it's your problem because I ain't coming back. There's nothing to come back to. So it's, again, this definitive, I have crossed over. I am a Hebrew. That's what Hebrew means, to cross over. I have crossed over and I am committed. And if this doesn't work out, it's your problem, God, because I ain't going back. I'm committed. And that's what's being said here. And It also says God is not ashamed to be called your God when you make that kind of a decision. 17. By faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. So what these people see, and it's especially obvious in the case of Joseph, is Joseph knows that he's going to die in Egypt. He knows he's going to be embalmed in Egypt, yet the promises of God are so strong to him that he gives instructions that when they leave, and you will leave, take me with you. And again, all of these are action kinds of things. By faith, when Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict, which was to kill all the male children. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. All right, now we need to sort of talk about that for just a minute. Is there anything inherently sinful about being an Egyptian?
No, I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, Egyptians are Egyptians and they do what they do, and they're fallen human beings just like the rest of us. But what I think is being said here is he is a sojourner where Egypt represents the world. Okay? So Egypt represents the world, and he has the opportunity to be a ruler in the world's system. He's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Even if he wasn't in line to be Pharaoh, which is probably doubtful, he was still in line to be in a position of great influence and power in the world. What he did is he turned his back on it. In other words, he's choosing the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of the earth.
Or he could be a big shot in Egypt today.
Right.
And he chooses the promise of God.
Right. Yeah, the comment was, again, in case you didn't make it, is that he has the promises of God as passed down through Jacob that he can claim in the future. Or he can be a big shot in Egypt right now. And he chooses to delay gratification, if you will, and become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven as opposed to remaining a citizen of earth. Verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. Now, what on earth is that?
Believing that that would...
Okay, the comment was the first Passover, and you're correct, but that's not the question I was asking. Good answer, wrong question. Did Moses know about Christ?
Eve was told that her offspring would crush the head of the serpent.
Exactly. There has been a promise of Messiah ever since the garden. And remember we spoke earlier when we were talking about those who died in the wilderness? And the book of Hebrews said they received the gospel, but it did them no good because... So what the writer of Hebrews is doing here is carrying forward the theme that the gospel is not a New Testament concept. It is a Torah concept. And what he's saying here when he says Moses had faith in the Messiah is he's saying that he believed what was written in the Torah about the coming Redeemer. Before the Torah was given because he's the one that wrote the Torah.
Right.
Everybody understand that? A bit convoluted, but...
Painful at the moment to be a child of God because...
Oh, okay, you're reading that differently than I am. Let's think about that a minute. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. The comment was, he received discipline from the Father, and that's a good thing. In other words, the reproach there is discipline on Moses by God, which is a good thing. That's, I was reading it as the discipline of the Father on Christ, which is yet to come. Kind of like both of them. I don't know which one the reader meant, or the writer meant. And I had never considered your way, and I very much like that too. 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been circled 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Now, what does apart from us, they should not be made perfect mean?
That's the same for us. In essence, come on. I just gave you all the examples. If they could do it, we could do it. We can all do this.
The comment was that this is by way of pep talk. If they could do it, we can do it. I want to suggest that's the beginning of chapter 12. What you just said is going to be said explicitly in chapter 12.
Okay, so this is the segue.
It is a segue. What I'm going to suggest it means is, first off, it says they're commended for their faith, but did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. In other words, they are not the end of the story. The story is going to continue until us. And in fact, the story continues beyond them, and so the resurrection is not going to happen until everybody who's going to make it has made it. Yes. In other words, they're players in a grand play, but the play has to go on, so they didn't get the reward because the play is not yet finished.
We all come under the same promises, and it all is going to happen.
Yep. Yep. And again, good comment, and I'll repeat it just to make sure it gets there. There is not, what you can take from this is there is not one set of rules for them and a different set of rules for us. We're all under the same rules. Right.
And if they didn't get it here, they'll get it here.
Right. Yeah, the comment was that the scales will balance, but they don't always balance in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so those who did not receive the thing promised while they yet walked the earth, that scale will balance in eternity. But they will receive the reward for their faith. Yeah, we don't have time to get into chapter 12.
Did you get to, in a minute and a half, did you get your thing on faith?
So how do you increase your faith? In a minute and a half. Two things. One is you learn the promises of God. And you do that by studying Scripture. And two, you encourage each other. In other words, you hang around people of faith, and they will build each, you will build each other up. If you hang around people who have no faith, they will drag you down. And the reason that these people in chapter 11 are heroes is because most of them were lone rangers. They were the only one in their generation, and they had to do it without, without any support. That's why they get the ink in Scripture, is because they were such spiritual giants. I'm not that kind of a spiritual giant. I need lots of encouragement. So I study Scripture, so I know what the promises are, and I surround myself with people who are also believers so we can encourage each other. Yeah, and what your the comment again was that the way you get more faith is intimacy with God, which I agree, and what I'm suggesting is the way that you achieve intimacy with God is what I just said.
Yeah, too.
You study the Scriptures and you surround yourself with people who speak of the things of God. And that's how you, you know, each of us can show you some aspect of God. Mm-hmm. Some of us are strong, some of us are gentle, some of us are kind. And, you know, we all strive to be strong, gentle, and kind, but we have it in different measures. And so as we are together in a community, we can each see something of God in the other and so understand who it is we worship. With that, would someone like to close in prayer?